Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
By default, it's going to be sorted by faction and then within that faction alphabetically. So I always get Amin and Naidu right up when I go to that page. But yeah,
and I don't know whether we need to change that to descending order or something, but the fact that Arcanists are the first thing I see every time I open up your damn app is not okay. But go ahead.
You know, I just realized that, and you'll be relieved to know that your search settings actually persist.
Howdy, friends. Craig here. We've got DZ, the man who created the M3E Crew Builder app. Pretty neat episode. Highly recommend that you pull your phone out and follow along with some of the stuff that we cover when we get into the features. I guarantee there's things that the app does that you did not realize, and hopefully we'll show you here during the show. A couple other things. One, you'll hear me talk about the Patreon during this episode. This was obviously before we launched the Patreon. But it is now out there now. I found it very interesting to hear how this app went from didn't exist to did exist in really just a handful of months. So enjoy.
Playing a tabletop strategy game allows you to unplug and test your skills against friends. Every week, Third Floor Wars delivers useful strategies, discussions, battle reports, and reviews to tabletop games like Malifaux. If you want to get better at the games you already play, or discover the games other people are playing, you are in the right place. Craig and Ray welcome you to the Third Floor and the Tabletop Talk Broadcast.
Craig here on the Third Floor. Today we have the man responsible for giving us the new M3E Crew Builder app. Now, DZ Leergard is a software developer by trade and also a guy who loves Malifaux. So, DZ, welcome to the Third Floor. The first thing I always like to know is, how did you find Malifaux?
I sort of just did. I didn't like take an avenue into Malifaux from another game. Closest thing to a miniature game I'd ever played before was probably just D&D and stuff like that. So I was hanging out in my local game store. It's called Mox in Seattle. And I was walking around the miniatures room. They have a special room set aside with tables, and then all the products are lining the walls. And I never really got into the aesthetic of you know, Warhammer and all that stuff, but something about the boxes and the artwork of Malifaux, the way it blended all of those genres, and something about it just called out to me. So I just picked it randomly. Never tried it before. Just bought a couple boxes.
That's cool. So you might be the first person I've had on the show that, like, this is their first game, first miniature game. So, like, how hard was it to learn? Was the building and the painting aspect of it intimidating? Like, kind of walk me through your ice bath into tabletop gaming.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it was my first tabletop game, but just because I'd played. Like, I'm a big game enthusiast. I just hadn't tried this particular brand of gaming before. So,
gotcha.
I had painted miniatures before. They're atrocious. I think those were miniatures just for like one-off D&D campaigns and stuff. But these, sure, you know, where they're going to be reused and part of the fun is like showing off your paint jobs. I was a little bit more careful, but so I just and the rules they're fine. I hadn't like. On the one hand, I had never played any other game, so I had no starting point. But on the other hand, I didn't have any like preconceptions,
yeah,
like dice and stuff. I knew that dice were used in other games generally, but I wasn't like, this is weird using cards. In fact, I love cards, and that probably was one of the selling points for me too.
Now, was there a local community you were able to link up with, or did you find yourself kind of learning on your own at first, or?
Well, I bought a couple boxes. This was in 2016, and immediately moved to Los Angeles, where I was not able to find anything.
Yeah.
So, like, my wife had helped me out with painting. I bought like the the Victoria's box and the Sonia box, and we were painting them together, but I had never played, not even like a test practice game. And then after about a year and a half in Los Angeles, we decided that that was enough Los Angeles, and we moved back to Seattle.
Yeah.
At that point, she played a couple practice games with me, and then I finally, I'm what they call like a very dedicated introvert. So going to, you know, a game store and playing with strangers, like that's a hurdle for me. But I finally got over it and started going to Mox, and they had a weekly Malifaux night there. It's not currently running to my knowledge, which I would love for that to start up again. So if any of your listeners are in Seattle, hit me up.
Yeah. So I have kind of the introverted tendencies too. So I not severe enough that it keeps me from getting out of the house or anything like that. But you know, there are times where I get a little crazy talk in the head that says, "Yeah, you'd probably just rather stay home and not go out." So you get
that being introverted is a sign of intelligence. So
You know what? Let's go with that. I like that a lot, DZ. But you know, for me, what I love about having a regular gaming night with a group, so I hope you're able to find one or get one together, is it forces me, you know, to go out there. And you know, if you're like me, you know, sometimes I don't feel like going out, but I'm always happy when I do, whether it's, you know, anything like that. It's just that a little strangeness that happens to me right beforehand. So I can sympathize with that.
Yeah. What you got to do is make promises like the day before.
Exactly.
And then it's like, well, I can't not go because I said I was going to. And then you end up having fun anyway. So
Exactly. So for our next therapy session, we're going to talk about. but really, the reason we're here is I really want to kind of find out how this came to be, DZ. So how did the app come about? I want to learn from you kind of what your goals were, kind of walking into it, what you think are really some of the key features and some of the successes. So things that went from, you know, design to execution. And then towards the end here, I want to reveal to from the guy who made it some things that people may not have noticed about the app. So the first thing I need to want to know is, like, how did this all start? So you do your thing. Weird's doing their thing. What was the first connection?
So I've been a software developer like in the industry since 2011. And a lot of the time I've had personal projects on the side to kind of keep me stimulated. And I have a strong creative streak, which doesn't always, you know, come out very well in my regular job.
Sure.
So that's something I've always used to keep me interested and also to like keep up on technologies and like different, you know, React and lots of different web frameworks and stuff like that. So when we got into the closed beta, the person I was playing with mainly in Seattle, we were the only two basically attending at that point. And I was like, well, there's a space here and there's an opportunity, especially because the beta is still closed, to make something that can get in before, you know, some of the other people that have a similar skill set to me, like get into the space. Yeah. And so I just set out to make, originally, interestingly enough, I was actually using it as an excuse to try out like machine learning vision APIs and stuff like that. Like what I wanted to do was create a function that would look at the picture, the PDF of a card, figure out which text things meant what, and then parse that into something. So the project was called Malifaux Parser instead of like Crew Builder or whatever. But like once that, like that, there were roadblocks to getting that working. So instead I just opened the PDF, select all the text, copy it into a text document, gasp in horror at the formatting. And then I just wrote a regular expression to parse out the cards. And from there, I was like, well, now I have this data. Now what do I do with it? And at that point is when I started making the M3E Crew Builder Heroku app that ended up getting more attention.
So out of curiosity, DZ, at this point, you have not talked to Weird, right?
At that point, no.
Okay. All right. So the website, did you put it up and made it public or?
Yes. Yeah. So once I was done, I shared it with the guy that I was playing with at the time. And he liked it and we both shared it on our respective closed beta forums, got some good attention there. Both good, like positive feedback and good suggestions for other features and stuff like that. And, that ended up being because it was so early, and other people hadn't jumped on this design space yet. I think I end up capturing most of the crew building audience there. And then once the beta went open, I shared it more broadly, ended up like at this point, it had like several thousand people using it. And at that point, this is in January of 2019, Kyle reached out to me. He sent me a message on the weird forum instead of like an email or something. I guess they don't have my email address, asking if like saying that they really loved what I was doing with it and they wanted to work with me if I was interested. And that's when that got started.
So I'm impressed on a couple fronts here. So first of all, you know, kind of what brought you into it is it's a lot how I think many of us hobbyists function, which is, you know, I want to learn something new. And in order to do that, I need a project. In fact, some of the beginnings of Third Floor Wars was me wanting to learn how to do audio editing and how to do video editing and things like that. And,
I completely believe that.
Yeah, the only way you can do that is to start making shit, right? Yep. So that's cool. The other thing that's shocking to me, because I lead teams of software developers.
Yeah.
For you to go from January to now is pretty impressive, man, considering it wasn't your full-time job. So hats off on that.
Oh, you just mean like working on it in general?
The fact that in 8-9 months, you had a fully functional app?
The development on the app itself actually started in June, I think.
Jeez, that's impressive, man.
Yeah, I started dabbling and stuff, but yeah, as part of that process, you know, and we'll get to all that, I guess. But they just wanted to take that crew builder, that web tool that I built, and just put it on the weird website. And I'm like, yeah, sure, we can do that. And they I was like, I just have to confirm with my employer that I can do contract work. Right. And they're like, well, what if we paid you in store credit? And I'm like, yes, but I don't think that would make a difference.
Yeah.
Turns out it is fine for me to do contract work. I just have to like it. The weird is not competing in any space with my employer in any sense. So that's the only concern there.
But as soon as I monetize Third Floor Wars, I had to check with my employer too. Yep. For similar reasons. Tens of dollars I make off of this podcast apparently is they don't see that as a threat that I'm leaving anytime soon.
Yeah, that's the key. And like that, what you should do is what I did with the web tool, and just put a tiny little button at the bottom called tip jar, and that was enough to pay for the hosting costs, at least.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. Ray and I are talking about doing a Patreon at some point. I'm kind of the big blocker on it, just because really? I'm funny about it. I don't want to just put it up and say, you know, be nice to us, which there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm just weird.
So you're wanting to make sure that there are like benefits to being a patron?
Yeah, I do. And I don't know what those should be. Part of me says, you know, I could do exclusive content, but I really, that rubs me the wrong way too, for some reason.
Sure.
I've thought about, well, what if we do, an early release? So you get the podcast a week before everybody else does, but that seems kind of BS a little bit, to be honest with you. There's nothing, it's not breaking news when I put out a new episode. So,
yeah. I would say that, as a fan of the podcast, that I would subscribe to the Patreon just to support, and not because I thought I would be getting anything out of it. So you could have like a low level that's just like support us, and then like figure out what the if at all there should be any higher levels later on.
Yeah, and I think that might be what ended up happening, because you're not the first one. I've had lots of people reach out to us saying, hey, where's your Patreon? What's your Patreon?
And I was talking to Ray about this actually over chat last week or something like that.
I mean, the only thing I have figured out for sure is that there's going to be three levels. There'll be a first floor, a second floor, a third floor. That's all I figured out.
Thematically important, I see.
Yeah. So maybe we should just spin the guy up and have the first floor out there for a buck or two a month and then just be done with it. But
yeah.
You
can always build on it later.
Exactly. So we're not going to get into the details between the handshake between you and Weird, but it's interesting to to find out how you got on the radar. Great group of guys there too.
I was going to say I wanted to say that everybody to work with at Weird has been exemplary. Kyle has been my main point of contact, but I've also had long conversations with Nathan, and Matt has chimed in a few times as well. They have a designer named John. They've all been great. Nathan especially is delightfully Southern, even in like written communications.
Most of my contact has been with Kyle, Matt, and they're just really good guys. Very generous and very kind. And
yes.
I'm a and big care. Fan of, yeah, they do. They really do. And their passion and love of the game is, it shows, and their talent shows. I mean, look at third edition.
Yeah.
So you guys do the handshake. And so initially, how does it turn from, we want, you know, to leverage your website to, can we make an app? How does that happen?
Well, once Nathan got into the conversation and it started being more about like negotiating that stuff, we were focusing on, let's just put the tool on the website. But at some point he's like, maybe when we're done with all this, would you be interested in turning this tool into an app? And you know that like you can't just take something that's
not
built in
not
HTML.
A button to flip.
Yeah. Which like I don't expect other people to know that necessarily.
Yeah.
But so I was like, I will start playing around with some systems. I'm familiar with, for example, Unity, which is a game development software. Yeah. Let me try putting something together in that. I got 10 minutes into that and I'm like, this is overkill. This is not a good use case for this. I later found out that one of the competitors to the Crew Builder of another company is built in Unity. And I'm like, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But so I played around with some existing frameworks. And then just coincidentally, at this time, I happened to go to Google I.O., which is a software developer and conference, and learned about a framework called Flutter, which is basically it's made for app development. And it's made so that you can write both iOS and Android apps in a single framework. Tried out a demo. I was completely and utterly smitten with it. It's the like one of the greatest frameworks I've ever worked in. I hope to work in it a lot more. I've considered transitioning at work to try it, but I haven't reached that point yet. But
it impressed you.
Yes, I was incredibly impressed with it, and I thought like this is the first time I've seen a software framework, and I've been like, I could just crank out an app in this.
Wow. And you did.
Yes. So I it was funny, like the, you know, there was the original like deal or package that Kyle had offered me for integrating this tool into their website. And that was supposed to be the first thing that I did. And it was like, after that's done, do the app. But then I started working on this app. I'm like, you know, this tool that I wrote is up. It's free. It's like, having a link to it or having it be hosted inside your web page isn't going to do much for you. But what will do a lot for you is having an app that people like. And I've reached a point in my own career that I'm confident that with the knowledge that I've collected in like over time, that I can avoid some of the pitfalls that hiring someone like A, who isn't familiar with the game. That's huge.
Yep.
And B, who like hasn't been like steeped in this culture, and like especially, you know, the larger company stuff, they might not know some of like the standards for material design and all that stuff that are gaining in popularity for good reason. So I think it was just a confluence of really fortunate factors, and it's about something that I cared a lot about and I really enjoyed. So I think everybody won.
Yeah. I got to tell you, DZ, the first time you exposed me to it, and I opened it up and I'm going to blow a little smoke here for a second, but, it was very obvious to me that you knew what you were doing.
Thank you.
A lot of the pitfalls that I'm used to seeing, even for some of my teams, I wasn't seeing. It wasn't perfect. I mean, it was still early when you exposed it to me, but, it made me extremely excited and it only got better. So, good for you on that. So, the app goes live, and I'm sure, you know, you have been, you know, trolling the different areas. The reception has been huge, which I could have easily predicted.
Thanks.
It, really, really, really neat. So I want to get an idea. I mean, did Nathan and the team give you kind of a vision around this? Like, this is kind of what we're shooting for, or did you kind of present them with a vision and that it was aligned, or, you know, So much of the work happens before a line of code is written.
Here's what I got from them. We like what you did. Make it into an app. And it's going to be free.
Smart.
That's it. That's all I got from them. And so I think that like what I did with the, you know, the web tool had given them enough confidence that they knew like to not to, you know, like put a leash on or put any like design right. requirements on me or anything. Obviously it was an open line of communication. So, you know, Kyle in particular, but also Matt and sometimes Nathan were very fastidious in like testing things out and making suggestions and stuff. So I don't want to say that like everything is all me in there, because not only were they actively like making feature requests and suggestions, but also once we opened it up to people, all the beta testers were extremely
right. helpful. Yeah. And DZ, that's the normal process. Yeah. And none of that takes anything away from what you do. I guess what I'm trying to get towards is, you know, the website, I mean, I used it as soon as I found it and loved it. And it was, and you know, it was also the only thing we had, yes. But luckily it was also good. But you know, for those people that aren't familiar with the process of designing an application, there are certain design goals that you come into it with. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get a sense of, you know, when you sat down and said, okay, you know, I'm going to do this. These are the five things I want to make sure it does, or the five impressions I want it to make, or the takeaways that I want the UI to give. I'm trying to get an idea of, yeah. What that initial vision was.
I'd say that my initial vision, if you could call it that, is if you open the app and look at the landing home screen, that was basically like my concerns is, yep. can you browse the cards? Actually, take out news. News came later. Can you browse the cards? And is it easy and friendly to do so? Can you build crews? And is that delightful? That's the word that my company uses for stuff that is enjoyable to use, is delightful. Right.
Good UI.
Yep. Can you play games on it? And I guess settings is not as dramatic, but
yeah. So like, I want to talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Things like it was surprising some of the things that actually came later, like that news feed. That was just, I was like a couple of weeks, I think, or maybe a month into working on it. I was like, you know what? Like they have an RSS feed. I could just service yeah. that right here. And then the network game feature, that came later too. I was like, I was working on it at some point. I'm like, I could just back up all of this stuff in the cloud. Mm-hmm. But if it's backed up, then it could just be shared between people. And you know what else? You could play a game live, and also Weird would have access to all of this data for yeah. balancing purposes. And once I brought that up in like our email conversation, at that point, Kyle and Nathan were salivating over the possibilities there.
I got to tell you, I mean, my experience was funny because, you know, here's what I anticipated when I first opened up the app, which is the ability to build a crew, which it did.
Yes.
And it does well. I was then, you know, looked at the card stuff and I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool that I have access to all the cards. Then I realized I could search, and the search capabilities, which is really the result of all that initial parsing, I would assume.
Yes.
Is fantastic. And that coupled with the fact that we have common names and abilities, like I can type in, you know, shrug off, and it shows me every model that has shrug off. And when you're building a crew and say, you know, boy, I got a ton of conditions coming in and I know what these abilities are that they get rid of conditions, to be able to type it in and be able to see it out of keyword models and everything, it's a big deal. What blew me away though was the game. The ability to play the game. So at first when I opened it up, I said, oh, that's cool. I can kind of track my own stuff. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And then the ability to share the information is incredible, man.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't replace it, but I already know people in my meta that it does.
Like tracking stuff locally.
Like cards and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that I do love about it is I still don't track wounds and things like that in sure. it, but I love the fact that I can pick up my phone and look at my opponent's cards.
Yes.
It makes things, oh, it's huge, because it speeds things up so much. There's a lot less of, you know, remind me what that card does, or how many wounds does he have, or what's his defense, or can he drop a scheme marker without taking an interact, you know, just stuff like that. I can look that stuff up real quick while my opponent is moving their models. So that's very, very cool. And it's just what I guess it sounds like it was just one of those things that may not have been kind of the original idea, but just you kind of just kind of came to you?
Yeah. So I'd started with Bad Things Happen in my head as like starting point, and Bad Things Happen does a lot of stuff really well. But there's like a couple things I didn't like about it. So I'm like, I'm going to make sure to fix these issues.
Good.
Like, for instance, the one that always bothered me was that once you create a game, you can't create a crew to put in that game. I'm like, this is the opposite though of what the actual game says. So why is it like that? Why it be like that? But so once I got the idea, like that's my starting point. And then when I got to this idea of like a shared game view between players, it's not a pioneer in this regard. There are other apps that do this, but like once I realized that could be done, it was a requirement just because of both because it allows, you know, you to, like you said, see your crew, track your crew, track your opponent's crew and see them in real time, but also just the amount of knowledge that it provides you.
Well, what I think I like the most about it, DZ, is that I have the ability to use as much or little of it as I want. So I can use the app just to look at cards. I can use the app to build crews in. I can use the app to, you know, stand up a game, and it all is functional in there. And the point that you made about the Bad Things Happen app, I'm not ashamed to say I was not a fan of the app. And I think you nailed it when you talked about the workflow. It didn't understand how I needed to use the app, which is a trap that you didn't fall into. So,
yeah, I think I suspect that Bad Things Happen was developed in house. I have no inside knowledge on this, but it's coming from like people who probably have some background in this, but they primarily work in a game company at this point anyway, and they know how their game works, but they can almost be a little too close.
Yep.
And then also there's all kinds of limitations. So being able to apply everything I've learned at my job and outside to a project like this I was very pleased to get to be a part of all this.
That's cool. So from a technology standpoint, for my tech geeks that are in the audience, DZ, can we talk through, you talked about the app framework itself. What are some other technologies that people should know about or languages?
So Flutter itself, the framework is written in Dart, the programming language. And I had never worked in Dart before, and it's my favorite language now because it combines the good parts of JavaScript, C#, Java, and HTML too, because it's one language that is both like the model and the behavior. So for non-tech geeks, there's like scripts that run on a page, and then there's the actual like thing that builds the layout. In Flutter, it's all one thing. I very much appreciate that, because once you wrap your head around it and get like the idea of widgets and states and stuff through your head, it really is a delight to work through, especially their tools that that like integrate it with development programs and stuff like that. Like Visual Studio Code is what I write code in, and it has a plugin that works directly with Flutter and does a lot of things for you.
Yeah, that's nice.
They have great developer tools.
Very cool. And you obviously there's a database behind it all.
Yes. Well, cool. Database in the colloquial sense. All of the model data and stuff, that's just like a plain like mapping file. It's written in JSON. It's just a key. It's a key to value map, which can be nested and stuff like that. So, and that's all stored in Firebase in the cloud. So I use a lot of Firebase tools for various things, both like the hosting of the network games and also like the files that have the model metadata in it. This was another like big takeaway from the web tool, is I realized that I need to be able to make changes to like the metadata file and the card images without having to redeploy the entire thing. So that was a requirement from the get-go. And having that ability like on launch day was crucial, because everybody was like, wait, these things are missing. You can't see this alt model. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. How did I miss that? Let me go fix it right now.
Good for you. That's great. All right. So what we'll do, DZ, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about kind of the core functionality of it. So I think for some people that are listening, it'll be helpful to have a little bit of an audio user guide. So we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so at this point, we have all the tech geeks still listening, and everybody that didn't understand the last 5 minutes has left. But for those of you that stuck around,
in another order, huh?
That's all right. For those of you that stuck around, what I want to do, DZ, is I don't want to do a user's guide, but I want to kind of walk through the features. So the first thing that I started using when I opened up the app is the card section, which immediately takes me to a place where I have literally every single card for every model in there. I've got the ability to look at upgrades as well. Can you kind of walk me through some kind of key features here?
Yeah. So when you open up the card section, by default, it's going to be sorted by faction. And then within that faction alphabetically. So I always get Amin and Naidu right up when I go to that page. But
And I don't know whether we need to change that to descending order or something, but the fact that Arcanists are the first thing I see every time I open up your damn app is not okay. But go ahead.
You know, I just realized that. And you'll be relieved to know that your search settings actually persist when you close the app and start it back up.
Yeah, so I can't delete cards, DZ. Delete them.
You could just highlight all of the other factions.
That's right.
And leave Arcanist unhighlighted. And that should
that actually, that's actually something that's a good call out, DZ, is the filter, because it's something that I don't think I fully realized at first is, the fact that I can select, three or four of the different faction symbols to immediately filter out the list, which is really nice. I just by default anticipated I could only do one faction at a time, which is not necessarily true. And the same thing with filtering the text and searching the text, but the persistence of those filters, both the text and the faction filters, is phenomenal. Every once in a while, you'll find yourself where you're like, I can't see Sun Quang when I'm trying to bring build my Yan Lo crew in as a rezzer. And I realized it's because I had the rezzer filter on, and that kept Sun Quang out. So it's like one little thing that I think is awesome about it. But there's a little, every once in a while, you might find yourself not being able to find a card, and that's why. But continue. Let's talk about some of the key functionality here.
Yeah, so that issue actually came up a lot during beta testing, and like I would fix it, and then I would make some other change that would unfix it, and people would come back with it. I'm like, why is this still happening? I fixed this, but hopefully when you actually go into build a crew, it'll clear out and kind of reset your search settings a little bit, and like make sure that things aren't being filtered out.
And it probably has, and I just haven't noticed because it hasn't happened to me in a while.
I did when I reached out to you. I'm sure that this problem was not fully fixed yet. So if you got that, this is a perception issue as much as it might be a technological one. And for the record, if you or if any of your listeners actually do still experience something that I'm like, yeah, I totally fixed that. I'm the best. Do tell me, because like I'm heavily invested in this, both in time and just like my fragile ego. So if somebody has an issue with something that exists in the app, I do want to know so that I can fix it.
Well, and I will tell you another quick story before I get us back on track again is I was a little freaked out because throughout the time where I had access to it before the open beta, and then when the open beta come up, there'd be little things like I was playing with it, right? And I go, it'd be kind of cool if it did this, and if I was a good person, I would have written it down and reached out to you and said, hey, here's an idea, but I'm an idiot, and I didn't. But what was interesting is that I would see it 2 days later, So whether it was because of the quality of feedback you're getting, because it wasn't from me, or whatnot, but, there was, and it was like real minor stuff, right? So it wasn't a big enough deal that, cause I, you and I emailed back and forth on a few things, but
yeah,
little tiny things, that, just got put in there. All right. So let's get us back on track, DZ. Let's talk about, what are the key things that everybody needs to know about the card feature?
Just that it might not be obvious at first if you're used to bad things happen, being able to mark your models as owned, painted, favorited. But when you're looking at these, like the list of models or upgrades, there's a little drop down thing on the side that comes up with some icons that mean those exact same things, even if they don't have the full text there. So you can still both mark individual cards in your collection, models that are painted, or favorite, whatever favorite means to you. And then in that search filter, if you expand that, you can also like filter down to only things that you own or favorite or painted, et cetera. So,
yeah, it's a cool feature. And just like a lot of the features in the app, what I liked about it, DZ, is the fact that it's not in my way.
Yeah.
So if I want to use it, it's there. But if I don't want to bother it, it's not taking up space. It's not taking up real estate. Some clever design work there.
There are a lot of things like that where I've got, you know, lots of requests that are like, can I have this little thing that does this? And I'm like, that is possible, but yeah, having something where there's crap all over the screen. Like if I add in everything that every single person wants, then nobody's going to be able to use it. And yep, like this is a at the forefront of design in like right now is just like make things clear and easy to understand and easy to use. And so I tried to keep that at the front of my mind the entire time.
One of the hardest things to do when you're in this process is to say no and just say, you know, this is going to cause more pain than pleasure. And I have to say no. You coming from the industry and having obviously been exposed to that concept, I think is good. So if we move from cards, let's talk about crew building.
This is kind of like, I mean, it's called the crew builder. So this is kind of the bread and butter of the app, if there was one. And it has a similar, you know, faction filter at the top. So once you've got like a large collection of crews, you can filter them down to a single or to multiple factions and whatever you want to do. The main page when you get to, when you click on crews, is just a list of your crews and then the ones that are shared with you if you go over a tab. Because there are several ways to share crews in this app, which we can get to. Then in the upper right, there's a button to scan a QR code, just like there was in some of the second edition apps. Hopefully that's working for everybody. That was a later edition as well, because I tried to add this QR code functionality early, didn't get it to work, threw out my hands and said, there's no QR codes this time. Screw it. It doesn't work. It can't be done. It was, you know, there was enough people asking for it that I was okay, fine, I'll take another look at it. Thankfully, I was able to find something that works. But so from this page, if there's a floating action button, they're called down at the bottom, the plus icon. If you click on that, it opens up to all the faction icons and colors, and that's how you create a new crew. So once you click on that or tap on that and select whatever master or henchman you want to lead the new crew, that gets you into the actual crew builder, which is the highlight of the app, I think. That and network games are its like pride and joy.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, DZ, so here's a perfect example of that like little thing I thought would be cool that eventually you added. So when you go to higher models and you start building the crew, it used to be when I scrolled down, I couldn't see what my soulstone situation was.
Yes.
Because that would scroll up on me, but now you've got that pinned to the top and it's fantastic.
That was another case of something that like I tried to get working, couldn't get it to work. I'm like, well, people will be fine. There's a, when you add something, there's a little, you know, snack bar at the bottom that says you added this thing. I'll just put the remaining soul stones there. But people are like, no, I want to be able to see it. So this in particular was a case where I had to actually like educate myself on some, like something that you can do with Flutter, the framework that I didn't have a good understanding of it. It was kind of intimidating to me, but I'm like, I think this is the only way that I can get this done. So I just sucked it up and tackled that. So I'm glad the way that it turned out.
Yeah, me too. And it's so funny how you look at something like this and you some of the smallest things that you think would be so easy took up 80% of your time.
Absolutely.
but it's all that problem solving. When you've got a project and you're doing it in something new like this, you'll learn a lot through the process, both through the failures and for the eventual successes. So that's very, very cool.
And I went on to use that skill and how to do it this on another page later on. So it ended up, coming in handy anyway. So I'm glad.
That's another problem solving tool that you had now licked. So you could reuse it. Other things that are real nice, for those of you that play around with it that may not have been immediately apparent. But if you hold down your thumb, you can switch the order of your crews. Yes. So you can drag things around, which is really nice.
Bitch to get working.
Well, it was worth it, man. Cause it's little stuff like that that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
The ability to edit the crews. That went through a couple different iterations. Where you ended up was great. So that's something that I really like. And just in general, it's a good UI. It's a good user experience, a good way for me to interact with it. For those that were kind of went through the journey with you over the last couple months, you made a lot of good decisions, man.
And a lot of that was because of suggestions from people. Like I think the idea of when you're, playing with the models in your crew, the idea of swiping them to the right to remove them, I think that was me. But then somebody was like, what about swiping them like to the left to add them to the crew? And once I had that in my head, I could not get it out. Like I was like, yeah. that is the coolest idea. And it's juicy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it feels right because with the way the UI works is I'm flipping left and right between looking at the crew and building and adding models. So, it completely is intuitive and works. So that's great. So let's talk real quick about the different ways to share your crews.
Sure. On the crew list page, when you're looking at all of your crews and in the crew builder itself, there's a share button. And when you're looking at the list, you have to tap the little menu icon, but it's front and center when you're actually editing the crew. There's three ways to share a crew. You can copy a link, which this is another thing that I used Firebase for. They have something called dynamic links. So if I say dynamic links, this is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
It just makes a little personalized link that the nice thing about it is that if you send this to somebody who does not have the app installed, it'll take them to the install page for their phones, like OS. And then once it installs it, it will go on to do the thing that it would have done had they already had it installed.
That's nice.
Yeah. So if you're sharing crew with somebody like that you're introducing the game to, you can send them a link to the crew. It'll take them to the app page, have them install it. And then once the app starts, it'll take them over to that page and previewing the crew that you sent them.
Very nice.
After that, copy text. This was actually a request from Ray. So, but other people have said that they appreciated it too. So thank you for that, third floor wars. and it just copies the plain text, just in a slightly indented format. And then finally, the QR code is the thing I got working like the week before the app launched. And that works exactly like it did in, I believe you had this in Bad Things Happen. I know it was in Krupo.
Yeah, it was in Bad Things Happen. The for some reason though, it was really hard to get it to work. To scan, it was kind of funky.
This is a limitation that I found when I actually started working with QR codes. You look at them and you're like, well, I'm sure that jumble of dots can hold a bunch of data, but no, it really can't hold that much data. So you have to find a way to kind of compress everything. So what I ended up doing was just the QR code just has like the index of the model that's in your crew. Doesn't have like the model's name or anything like that. And then it just figures out, like it just recalculates the crew.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It everything's mapped out. So it knows what to do with that data once it gets it. So, And that copy of text feature, hats off to Ray on that. I didn't realize that he had sent that into you because, so often, we're in Facebook Messenger or on text messages and stuff. And it just makes it real simple to say, hey, I've been screwing around with this crew, copy paste, done. So that's nice.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of features on this page that were requests, I will say that the notes section at the bottom where you can just write down some text about a crew, like say, I want to use this for this round in the upcoming tournament or whatever. that was actually Kyle at Schemes and Stones that requested that in like the week that we were going live. So I'm like, I might be able to do that. It sounds easy, but no promises. But there were no surprises there, so it ended up working.
You know, it's funny. I don't think I've got the app open right now, and I don't even think I noticed it. But yeah, you got 500 character notes down there. That's real nice.
Yeah,
real nice. You know what? And now that I scroll down to the bottom, here's another thing. And I'm not sure when this happened because I vaguely remember it from the beginning. But the reference cards piece was a real nice touch. So for those of you that aren't familiar with it or haven't looked yet, so if I add, say, Sebastian. And Sebastian has the ability to summon canine remains. I'm not going to have the canine remains in my crew, but because I added Sebastian, I go down to the reference cards and I can click and see the canine remains card. So it was a real nice touch.
This was another thing that evolved from something that was in the web tool, actually, because that was also a late addition in the web tool. And once I'd finished it, I'm like, this is a requirement. Like,
yeah,
summoners in the game. When you're in a game, you don't want to have to, you know, open up the models list and like scroll through it every time. Like if I could just have like, and like Voodoo Doll in the crew builder tool, when you're looking at like, you can't hire a Voodoo Doll. It cannot be hired. So there's no way to see its card in the list. So reference cards is the only way to see the Voodoo Doll card when you're in a game.
Right.
So, yeah. That was a necessity. And then like automatically adding them, that also came much later. Originally they were all just manually added, but, like, there's no reason that a summoner shouldn't just auto-add all of their possible summons as reference cards right away. So
it's smart, and that took some work. That work was appreciated because, it seems like obvious and magic to the users, but as somebody who's has a little bit of insight on what it takes to do it, that took a lot of work. So it's appreciated. All right, so let's talk about, I think, probably... My guess is the section that's probably used the least, not because there's anything wrong with it, but because, you know, I think the bulk of the people are using this to build their crews. Yeah. I think people are just discovering the game section. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. And like, this is a page where even when you tap on games and go to this parent level page, I'm actually still not convinced that this is the best way to show you what's here. But I haven't thought of anything better yet. So when you go there, you'll see three tabs at the top. There's in progress, completed, and setups. The first two are all of the games that you've created, both locally, which means they're just stored on your phone. They're not shared. They are backed up if you are logged in. But other than that, like, it's just you. You have full control over both crews, and like, nobody else can see your view of the game. And network games as well are listed here. If you've marked a game as complete, it'll be in the completed tab. If you have not, it'll be in progress. It's pretty straightforward. Again, there's a simple like a faction filter at the top, and that's just for like the show me games where I played Neverborn. Mm-hmm. In my case. So from here, if you click on tap on the action button at the bottom, it'll pop up two options, and it's new or join. And if you tap on join, but you're not signed in, it'll say you have to sign in order to use this because your like singular unique ID with the Firebase project is how you're identified and how it tells like what game you're in. If you tap on new, it'll take you to a setup builder where you can name the setup that you're creating, pick a deployment strategy or a deployment strategy and a scheme pool. There's a button at the top to reflip and randomize everything, or you can just customize whatever you want. And then there's a share button, which is similar to the cruise. There's both a link feature and a QR code feature for sharing these setups. And then at the bottom, you can discard to go back. You can save the setup for later, which is what I did. Like last time I was planning on going to a tournament, I went and created a setup for each of the rounds of the tournament and just saved it. And then create game, instead of saving it into like your local saved setups, it'll just create a game right away and skip that part.
Yeah.
Unless you've already saved it. And then from create game, you also have the local and the network options, which works similarly, but not the same.
Yeah. And so there's some nice little touches I want to do call outs to here, DZ. One is when you're on a network game, I love the fact that we go through the process in the right order. So we I declare a faction and confirm it. You declare a faction and confirm it. I pick my master. You pick your master. Both are confirmed. They're revealed. It's a testament to understanding how the game is played and making sure the app meets that use case.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Once I had locked into this feature and I wanted people to be able to have a shared view of the game, there was no reason not to do it this way. Because yep. If you're not playing a competitive game, it might be a little bit of like taxing to go through the confirmation process, but it still only takes a minute. But
right.
Like there's no reason that the app shouldn't emulate the actual process of doing this, of setting up a game, because it's in control of when, like you have to pick all those things anyway. So why yep. not do it in a way that is actually like mimics the actual process of determining a strategy and all that stuff in real time.
No, it's great. The other feature I'm going to call out is the completed feature is really nice because I have the ability to go back and look at my games, look at what the crews were. It's good for old men like me that have shitty memories. So,
or if you are totally ashamed and never want to see a game again, then you can delete it and never see it. Yeah, it'll be gone.
It never happened.
Yes. One thing I will call out, and it's probably like a good thing for users to know, when you delete a game, if it was a local game, then it's gone forever and yeah. it'll never come back. If it's a network game, there's a chance that it might stay server side just so that Weird has the balancing data and mm-hmm. you won't see it anymore and there's no way for you to get it back, but it may yeah. not be dead fully.
Yeah, and you and I have talked about this, DZ, before the podcast, but I'm really hoping that a lot of really good data gets collected here.
Me too.
Because there's the potential from a game design standpoint to do it. From my understanding, having talked to people that are familiar with, I can't remember the name of the company that makes Infinity, But they have a pretty robust app they've got pretty good user acceptance on it. So a lot of people are using it to run their games and they have just got a shipload of data where they can see what models are being played, just everything. Far more efficient than the process I went through for, say, my Malifaux by the Numbers video for the Nova thing, which was just if you saw the clunkiness of the work I did behind the scenes to put that together, it's embarrassing.
I've been there and I reached out to you after. Like I really appreciated all the work that went into that, because you not only like is it just a slog to collect all that and to organize it, but also to present it in a way that means something even to people who, you know, aren't into data and stuff like that. It's no easy task.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I'll tell everybody, we don't want to spend too much time here on Crew Builder, but that's something for you guys to play with when you are out there on Tuesday nights playing together. It takes a little bit of figuring it out together. It's easy though. And once you kind of get it and once you get the groove going, it's a fantastic feature. So the other thing that I think people probably are not using, and it needs to be talked about very briefly, is the reference.
Yeah. This was actually a request from Kyle as well. This is Weird Kyle. There are two Kyles and it's getting very confusing, but Kyle Rowan, the Weird employee, had requested the references page some midway through development. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's just a series of dropdowns. It shouldn't be that hard. But people have expressed something similar, that it's really critical to be able to look up the individual schemes, strategies, and stuff without having to like actually start a game. And then later on, people were like, I would really love to be able to get here while I'm playing a game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, sure. I'll just throw it in the drop down during a game. It's not hard.
No, it's a big deal. Like the ability to quickly look at the conditions, quickly look at the general actions and the rules around them. It saves a lot of time. It really, really does. I mean, it doesn't prevent you from having to open up the rule book.
Sure.
But it eliminates, I'd venture to guess, 60-70% of the time that you have to do a quick reference in a rule book. So
yeah, and all those things are like, you can get to them and like find, you know, the information on them at other parts in the app, but having it all be in one place, I think was a good call.
No, that's smart. So the most exciting part, let's talk about settings real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Anything users need to know about settings?
Just that when you first start the app, it's going to pick a random username for you. If you identify with your username, then you're welcome. But if you don't, then take it up with Kyle, I guess. But otherwise, you can just change the username to whatever you want. And when like the welcome screen, when you first start the app, you can sign in. Either you can use like a Google account, or you can just use a singular email address and password that you want only to use for this app. But that if you do that, then it will back up your data between devices, which I think is important to me, at least.
It's a big deal.
And then also that you need to sign in order to be able to play those network games and stuff. So so from settings, you can always change your display name, though, if you end up wanting something else. And then you'll pick like how you want cards downloaded, and then like a couple other random things like sharing data with Weird or using the dark theme in the app and stuff like that. Oh, and showing Dead Man's Hand models, which is off by default, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, it's good, and you can get some chuckles if you're clever with your display name, because when you're in a network game or you share crews, that gets exposed to your opponent.
I debated putting some like parental controls, let's call them, on that.
Yeah,
it ended up not making it in there, so nobody abuse that, please.
be nice to the kids when you're playing against the kids.
Know
your audience. Very good. All right. So that kind of gives us really kind of an overview, DZ, which I appreciate. So let's go ahead and take another quick break. And I want to dig in a little bit more about kind of the live network game and some features in that that I think people may not have tapped in. So we'll be right back. Howdy friends, Craig here. With 3rd edition Malifaux released, it's time for you to get a new mat with new deployment zones. We've tried every mat in the business, and nobody has better quality and selection than Mats by Mars. They're waterproof and they roll and unroll easily, and they're even wet erase Marco compatible. They offer over 35 designs and let you add M3E overlays for making deployment and positioning a breeze. Check them out at matsbymars.com. They are offering a sweet discount for our listeners. After you found the perfect mat, use the promo code 3rdFloor to get 10% off your entire order. If you really want to support us, in the notes of your order, request that our logo be put in the corner of your mat. It's the only way to make the best mat in the business even cooler. Again, that's Matt by Mars. Use the promo code 3rdFloor to get a 10% discount. Details are in the show notes. So how much are 3 or 4 of these episodes worth to you a month? 3rd Floor Wars has a Patreon, and if you think they're worth $1, $5, $20 a month, swing by and become a patron. We have polls that decide the next episode of the pod, along with early releases of articles and podcasts. Everything we release goes out to everyone, but sometimes our patrons get a head start. The link is in the show notes, or just search for 3rd Floor Wars on Patreon.com. Thanks for the support. Hey, I want to give our top Patreons a quick shout out. Special thanks to the top 4 Patreons as of the recording of this episode. Nick Westbrook, Colin, Kevin Smith, and Sam Newman. We appreciate all the support you give. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about kind of in-game, DZ. So here's an idea. If you can go ahead and create a game in the app, I've got my app open. So even though DZ is thousands of miles away in Seattle and I'm in North Carolina, he and I are going to connect.
Let's play over Vassal, I guess.
Yeah, someday we should, man. We should do that. Vassal. Yeah. I've been working on putting together an episode devoted to Vassal.
That'd be cool. I listen to all the episodes, but I would listen to that.
Good.
But I'm also terrible and I don't want to play anybody that's really good.
Yeah, well, then you and I will play. You'll be fine.
I mean, actually terrible. Okay, I've got corner deployment, reckoning, detonate charges, assassinate, deliver a message, all of their forces, and breakthrough. So
perfect. So now I'm going to hit join.
Okay. So I've got my match code and it is book. I always forget the difference between aura and pulse. This is pulse. Book, pulse, book. Or tome, I guess.
I'll hit join. Oh, that's because I did pulse or did aura.
I may be wrong. Right. It's the hollow one.
Yep. No, you were right.
Okay.
I was the one that was wrong.
Well, good.
All right. Join. Okay. So I put in, so what that displayed is it displayed basically a three symbol code. I put in that code. Now it comes up third floor against bad juju.
That's my spirit animal. Nice.
I'm going to choose my faction. And of course, DZ's doing the same. Uh-huh. And then I hit confirm. And once he confirmed it, and once we both confirmed, we can both see it. So I see he chose Neverborn. Yep. I choose my leader.
Yeah. So you chose Resurrectionist just for in real time to confirm that I can see what you're doing.
Oh, all right. Son of a bitch. Zoraida, he picks.
Wow. We both had the same reaction.
Wow. All right. So now
it's my crutch.
You're funny. I've got Resurrectionist Yanlo picked. He's got Neverborn Zoraida picked. Now it's going to ask to choose the crew. And here's what's neat is now when I click on it, I automatically see any crew I've already built that has Yanlo as the leader. And I also have the ability to create a new crew, which you've already kind of did a call out to DZ, but that was a huge improvement.
Yeah. And also like it will prevent you. It will also prevent you from picking or creating any crew other than the leader that you picked. So we'll keep you honest here as well.
Yeah. No, very smart. Very smart. So I've confirmed my crew. I've just built put in a pre-built crew and I hit confirm.
I shamefully did not have a Zoraida crew ready. So I'm creating one quick. There she is.
All right. And now it's going to show me what the five schemes are. And I get to pick my schemes.
And here's an actual secret of this page, too, that might not be obvious, which I'll figure out how to make this obvious. But if you tap on my crew name, it'll actually show you what I picked in there, too. So you get an idea.
You know what? I did not know that. Very nice. Very nice.
Somebody should put a help dialog on this screen, frankly.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I'll file.
Let me think about that a little bit. Yeah, let me think about that. There might be a symbol that would make that intuitive.
But
that's nice. I didn't know that. That's cool. So now I pick my two schemes.
I'm picking mine. And note in this part also that if you pick a scheme that requires you to select things, like we have assassinate, deliver a message in our pool. If you select assassinate, actually, does assassinate make you pick something? No, it doesn't. Deliver a message does, though. So when you pick that, it'll automatically pop up a dialogue that says what you need to do. In this case, choose an enemy leader or master. And then there's a drop down that gives you the actual valid options in their crew.
Again, something that just makes life real easy. So I hit confirm on my choices.
Oh, yes. Okay. I also hit confirm and then I created the game. So my button turns to start game. And when I tap that, it'll send us both into the game view automatically. Drop us into turn one.
And it's real clever. It's real clever. So for those of you that haven't done it yet, go through the process and join a game. You're going to find it's shockingly easy to do. You're not sharing QR codes back and forth. It's just a three symbol code that you have to put in. It makes it real nice. You go turn by turn through it. You have the ability to track your scoring on there. But the big thing that I want to really talk about real quick, though, is the tracking. So can we talk about actually tracking conditions and wounds?
Yeah. So once you're in that game view, regardless, so this view is the same even if you're in a local or in a network game. The only difference is if you're in a network game and you go to look at your opponent's crew, you can't change their wounds and like whether they've activated or add conditions and stuff to them because that they're in control of that. But on your crew, then you have full control over your wounds. Let's say turn one, you zapped Zoraida for six damage. I'm gonna knock her down to six health, and you should see that pop up within five seconds or so on your. So that's health, and then for conditions, in your crew or in a local game under all the models, there's a little button that says add condition or token. It'll pop up a list of a drop down of conditions and tokens and custom. And if you're in like a strategy that has special things like plant explosives, that'll also pop up here as well.
Nice.
But you can drop down the list of conditions. Let's say somebody put adversary on Zoraida. I'm going to add that to her. And there it is. And adversary does not stack. So all you'll see there is a little negative button to remove it. But for conditions and tokens that do stack, there's also a plus button that can go up and down. And something that was requested and that I put in eventually was when you knock something that stacks down to zero, it'll stay there. And if you tap like minus again, when it's at zero, then it'll go away.
Yep.
And that's because there's lots of crews like Hoffman's crew. He's throwing power tokens around the whole game. So you might as well just keep the entry for power tokens there, even if they don't have any, just so it's easy to just tap plus again.
Yeah, and just for those of you that have not tried this, you know, when DZ added that adversary, I immediately, when I click on his crew, can see it on there. Another two things that I want to do quick call outs on. One, under each of the models, it gives the basic stats. What's the most common thing you ask is, you know, what's the rate is willpower? Which, by the way, is ridiculous. It's 8. You can easily see that. Okay. It's silly. Oh, this is a nasty crew you built.
I just grabbed a bunch of henchmen, basically.
Yeah. And, you know, so I love that. I don't have to tap on Zerata to see her whole card to get really the most common thing I'm going to ask for, which is what's her defense, what's her move.
Credit for this one goes to Bill, the guy that I was playing most of my games with. He was the first person I ran the app past, and he suggested that immediately.
Well done, Bill. The other thing is how you mark whether somebody is activated or not.
Yes.
It's a little box.
Right.
It may not be immediately apparent, but I recommend using it because what's the second most common question that you ask during game is who's left to activate?
Yeah, how many models?
Has Zerata activated yet? And this, again, by having this as a shared thing between you and your opponent, we're going to get closer to turn 5, guys, by taking advantage of this in tournaments or even in friendly games.
Yeah. And one other thing on the activation front is that you do have to scroll down to see it. But once at the end of the turn, when you want to reset, there is a button to just like unactivate your entire crew.
You know what? I did not notice that either. Look at you. Look at me learning stuff.
This is a design failure, so don't blame yourself.
No, it's good, man. It's really good. And again, in game, all my reference cards are available to me at the very bottom, like they are in the crew builder part.
And you can add models and upgrades that you have listed down there just by tapping on the plus icon.
Yeah, it's clever, man. It's clever. Part of the reason, a big reason why I wanted you to have the show is just how impressive this really is.
Yeah, hopefully it's helpful.
And I think that I can tell you right now, for those of you listening, get one or two games in outside of a tournament environment, playing a shared game, and you'll be ready to go come tournament time, and it will save you time.
Yeah.
It won't end up slowing you down. Any other things that we didn't talk about that you think is important as far as in-game play?
Just on this, when you're looking at a crew, there is a little button in the bar with the crew name that'll switch you between like an expanded view, which shows you all the health and conditions and upgrades of everybody. And it just collapses. Like if you tap it, it'll just switch to like a collapsed view where you just see the name and the stats.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. And then I can expand as needed from there. Very nice.
Yes. And lastly,
very, very nice.
If you have a model in your crew that can replace itself, like my Will-O-Wisp, it'll have a little icon on its row that has a little like switch arrow. If you tap on it, it'll show you the options to replace the model with. In this case, it's an ads, and I can just do that, and it'll switch the model right away.
All right. I'm a broken record at this point, DZ. That's impressive, man. That's a lot of work. A lot of work to make our life easier.
That was a late edition, and people were like, it was requested several times. I'm like, that sounds like a pain in the ass. So you'll live. You can just add it from the reference cards.
Yeah.
But people kept asking for it, and my... I'm invested in this being the best possible thing it can be. So I finally gave in and just added it in.
Yeah, brother, it shows. So out of curiosity, was the groundwork in place structurally to do that, or did you have to mine every card to figure out, you know, who can replace whom?
No, my parser did not pick out like models that can replace each other. So it wasn't as bad. I went on by this point, like the beta for the app had been going for a while. So I just started a list on there, and I'm like, can you guys help me? Tell me all the things that can replace themselves. And like, eventually I did like, you know, control F replace in like the whole parsed model file and found anything that hadn't been listed. But having the testers like point out a bunch of instances right away was also got me off to a good head start.
Yeah. Free labor is great, man. Yeah. Free labor is great.
And also, replacement effects vary a lot too. Like some of them you heal, some of them, of them you lose all of your upgrades, but Miranda gets to keep hers. I added a special field on this little replace function, keep upgrades. And it's just currently just for Miranda. But if anybody else in the future gets to keep their upgrades when they replace, then they'll get that too.
Yeah, it's slick, man. It's very, very slick. All right, we're going to take our last... Yeah, it's good, dude. We're going to take our last break, and I'm going to try to find out from DZ what are probably some hidden features of the app that maybe you're not utilizing that we haven't already covered. So we'll be right back. Howdy, folks. Craig here. Now, if you love gadgets as much as we do, you're going to love the new Third Floor Wars gadget bundle from Schooner Labs. Branded with the logo of your favorite podcast, it comes with two measuring multi-tools, a compass stepper for those tight and important movements, along with a compact dashboard to track your turn, strat, and scheme scoring, along with your soul stones and pass tokens. It is the perfect bundle for anyone who plays Malifaux or just wants to look cool while doing it. The link is in the show notes. Check them out and help support your favorite gaming podcast. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to do is, regardless of how good an app is, how well designed it is, there's always little things that are in there that you just may not have noticed, and stuff that, you know, having the person that built the app and designed it probably screams that he wishes you did know it and utilize it. So, DZ, this is your chance. What are some things that people may not find when they first start using the app, but that you want to make sure that they know about?
Yeah, first of all, I appreciate you taking the onus off of me as the designer for if people don't know that you can do these things. Thank you.
It couldn't be your fault, could it?
Yes. No, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect in every way. So this list is largely curated based on things that at launch time, when you know, Kyle posted it on A Weird Place and everything, people commented like, how do I do this? How do I do that? Mm-hmm. So lots of this is just, this is how you do that, just to potentially reach the rest of the audience on these couple things. But this first one actually is something that Matt from Weird pointed out in one of his comments to the original post, which is somebody asked, can you bring pre-built crews when you're creating a game, or do you just create a crew on the spot? And Matt said you can do both. And in fact, you could build like a base list for a leader that's only 30 soul stones. And then when you start a game, fill out the rest of the soul stones with your flex models.
Oh, like, nice.
That honestly didn't even occur to me, but that's brilliant. And it fits into, you know, a lot of the stuff that your guests that actually know how to play good, that they say. Nobody has like a solid always take list. So you can just save your base picks, and then when you create a game, just make a copy of that base list and then add whatever your flex models are.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool. So I can have my Steve Bynum core Yan Lo list, and then have the other 15 stones I can do live. That's cool.
Yes, I like that idea a lot. It didn't even occur to me, but I'm like, yeah, you can do that. And then most of these are other like little things throughout the app. Like in the hires tab in the crew builder, there's a little plus icon that you could tap to add a model to your crew. But if you are the type of person who holds your phone in your right hand, mm-hmm. and you don't want to have to bring your left hand all the way over to tap that button, which I fully respect, you can just swipe models directly into your crew.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to tap that plus. Another thing with search queries, this was another request from a user. You can do compound search queries when you're filtering down your cards. So let's say you wanted to find, and this is in a help dialog, but I'm positive that help dialog readership is at like 10%, which is fine. I don't read all the help dialogues on my stuff either. But if you want to find out every model in the game that has armor 2 and Ruthless, you just type out armor +2, use an ampersand with space on both sides, and Ruthless, and it'll combine those text queries for you. So it'll filter out.
I know that. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. People were requesting, like, there's other apps that have very, very robust search features, and people were requesting this like 2 weeks before launch. I'm like, yeah, I could.
Yeah.
Oh my God. There's only some, like, I want to like provide all of the features that would actually be helpful for the audience. So I don't want to be dismissive or anything, but that was going to be like a complete overhaul of this page.
Yeah. And, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit, DZ. At some point, you have to make these decisions.
Yes.
And, you know, learning to say no is tough. But if you've been in the business for any amount of time, you learn that it's not an option. Because if you don't say no, you're going to fail.
Yeah. And I don't mean to be flippant or to like be disrespectful of the request. It's a totally valid request to have a really good search filter. There's another like beta tool that somebody else made that has really, really great search functions. I did not have the time to do it in this version. So another thing that lots of people said, where are the alt cards? I don't see the alt cards. They're in there. So when you go to preview a card, either from the cards page or like when you're tapping on one from your crew, the model name up at the top is a dropdown. If you tap on it, it'll show you all the different options. So like if you open up the emissary for your faction and tap on its name up at the top on like the card preview screen, it'll show you all of the different avatars. And if you tap on one, it'll switch to that card art, which is all available in the app.
That's really cool. And I just discovered this not too long ago because, you know, I did notice, you know, like if I hire two necropunks, I can choose which sculpt of the necropunks. Yes. But the first time I was fooling around with it and I realized I could replace Azamu with my turtle.
Yes.
I was like, all right, that's slick. And it automatically changes the name too.
Yes. In if you're working, if you're doing this from within a crew and you know, you're playing Colette, but you want to do the circus crew and you change her to Mr. Cooper, when you go back out, your crew is saved as Mr. Cooper.
Yeah. It's clever. It works real well.
Yeah. And yeah, so like I would also, as the last thing, when you're in a game, when you get to that point, make sure to open up that cog icon in the upper right and see what the options are. There's several things that you could do from there that people were frustrated about not being able to do, such as being able to, like, when you first select your schemes and go into a game, it's going to highlight which schemes you have selected just with a different color on the score by default.
Yep.
You can hide that. If you're the type of person who leaves your phone on face up on the table, I do that. You can, there's an option up in that menu to hide your schemes that haven't been revealed yet in case, you know, like people glance at things. It's not their fault. So, and then you can hide dead models and mark the game as complete and see the reference cards and stuff like that. So make sure to check out that dropdown, because the dropdown is the catch all bucket of design features where it's like, I don't know where else to put this. Let's put it in a big dropdown options menu.
So let them figure it out.
Yes. So it didn't fit anywhere else. So that's where it is.
Well, that's great, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I was really looking forward to this and, you deserve a lot of credit, and Weird deserves a lot of credit because I think you've put out a damn good product at a fantastic price point.
Yes.
And I wanted people to hear from you to get an idea of kind of who was behind it, and just in the conversations DZ you and I've had offline off the show. I knew before I saw the final product, it was in good hands, and it makes me feel really good about what's next. And that's a credit to the pride you have in the product and the passion you have, not only about the app, but the game. So hats off to you on that, man. You talk about being a fan of the podcast. Well, I'm a fan of your work as well.
Thanks. Yeah. I was also very looking forward to this because your other guests actually have like interesting and informative things to say on playing the game. And I think that this episode might be a slightly different audience, but hopefully it's still interesting. And
it'll give them a break.
The week that you announced this one, people are like, oh, I was looking forward to a master spotlight. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I also just want to say thank you both to Weird for reaching out to me and for working with me on this, and to all the beta testers who made like... The process of Q&A is very lengthy, particularly if it's just you, because you never, ever can catch every use case, especially if you don't use unit tests, which I don't. But and also just to the players as well, just because I do love this game and I love everybody for playing it. I would love for this community to grow. I know that there are players that show up in Ballard, or not Ballard, in Bellevue, near Seattle, which I could get to if I wanted to go over the bridge during rush hour. Ideally, though, if there are players in Seattle, I would love to get something started at Moxkin. So,
If you're listening, guys, come on. I know you're out there. I know you're playing in Seattle. So let's reach out to DZ and let's get him out of the house and let's get him putting some models on the table.
I promise if I've been a poor loser in the past, then I will be a better loser if you will just play with me. My wife will play pity games with me occasionally, but
I think it's pretty obvious you're not going to qualify for Masters next year based off of the confidence level. But we got to figure out a way for you to come out for the Open tournament that's at the same time.
It'd be fun. I do have a little one coming in January. So,
oh, that's exciting. Good for you, man.
Yeah. So I imagine my free time is only going to skyrocket after that.
Oh, no, dude, it has no impact on your life at all. My life is exactly the same as it was 6 years ago as it is now. So, oh, that's exciting. Congratulations. That's fun.
Thank you.
Other than the obvious plug, DZ, to download the app, is there anything else that you want to plug?
Yeah, so the other day I did finally buy DZLIER.dev. I have not put anything up there, but by the time you post this episode, if I plug it now, I have to do something.
There you go.
So I'll put a little like profile thing there if people like want to reach out to me, if they have other tech projects and stuff like that. If other game companies want an app and like this work, I did. This was my first contract work, but I highly enjoyed it and it was a lot of fun. Otherwise, I'm pretty active on A Weird Place to the extent of crap posting there, like stupid polls. and I also do try to keep my eyes on the Weird's official app forum. So if you have feedback on the app, you can either post it on A Weird Place. I guarantee I'll see it, or the forum, I'll see it there too. I do want any feedback that anybody has.
Yeah, so what I'll do, DZ, is in the show notes, people, you can find the link to DZ's site, which by the time this gets published, he'll have just a robust portfolio of all of his work up there. And it'll be overwhelming how much he's done between the time we recorded and released. And then I'll also link to the app form so that if you've got feedback for DZ, you can put it up there. Perfect. All right, man. I'm sure you and I will continue talking. You and I have some things that we've discussed that's outside of what we're covering here. We'll see what happens. But thanks again, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, and thanks for listening. Take care. Be sure to check out our shop on thirdfloorwars.com for the latest gaming apparel and gear. While you're there, check out how the USFO Tour is shaping up. How does your conference compare to the others in the United States? Where do you rank nationally? Get those models built, painted, and on the table so we can see you at the US Masters Invitational in October of 2020. Also, rate and write a review on this podcast for us. It really helps us find people almost as cool as you are. Thanks for listening. Howdy, friend. Craig here. Is this episode making you realize you need to buy some models? Gadzooks Gaming is my favorite online retailer because of their large selection, killer prices, and great customer service. Don't you hate buying an entire crew box when you only need one model? Gadzooks sells crew box models individually and saves you a ton of money. They even have free shipping to the U.S. and Canada if you spend $100 or more. Swing by GadzooksGaming.com and make sure you tell them Craig from the Third Floor sent you. All the details are in the show notes.
Sure. Should we start from when you start recording again, or when you come back from break?
Fine, dude. We'll do it live.
I'm just saying.